Country Club FM.
It's Almanac time. It's Friday, May 22nd, 143rd day of the year, 223 full days left to go. Again, you can hear past almanacs at mybobcountry.com. If you miss anything or you go, he said what? That's the place to go. mybobcountry.com. You been at mybobcountry.com recently, Neil? Have you visited the website?
It's been a week or so.
Okay, that's not bad. One visit per week, we'll take that. 1803, first public library opened in Salisbury, Connecticut on this date. Finally a public library. You know, before that, they were all private. And you know the problem with those private libraries, it's hard to get in. You got to pay initiation fee. And then you got to spend like $50 at the restaurant and in the clubhouse.
Right.
Per month.
Yes.
And guys were going, we just can't handle this. We can't handle private libraries. We got to go public. And they did. And then they had member guest day. It was a mess.
Crazy.
You just couldn't get in there without a friend who was rich. And there were many leather-bound books.
You had to know somebody.
Finally, in 1803, the public library could have some paperbacks. 1841, our patent of the day today. And this patent here might be the most single important patent in my life. And for many people here that had the effect on my lifestyle. Henry Kennedy received a patent for the first reclining chair.
Thank goodness.
On this date.
Yeah.
About time.
Yeah, we need that.
People are reclining on couches and on beds, chaise lounges, hammocks. Somebody said, let's make a chair that also reclines. I don't know if it came with the ottoman, though. I don't know if maybe just the chair reclined and the ottoman popped out, too. I don't know. That might have came later.
That probably was later.
Part of the Ottoman Empire. 1868, the great train robbery took place in Marshfield, Indiana. Seven members of the Reno gang held up the train's crew, unhooked the locomotive, and made off with $96,000 in cash, gold, and bonds. 1868.
That is a lot of dough.
And they were wearing masks.
Well,
and the people there said, now, are you here to rob us, or are you trying to protect yourself from a contagion?
Right.
Are you trying to protect yourself from water droplets? So in Minneapolis now, you know, they're making people wear masks.
Looks like I won't be going. I won't be visiting Minneapolis anytime
soon.
But
if you're planning on robbing someplace, a bank or a hotel, if you're a robber, you can't wear a mask. So they didn't make any highlight of that. You can't wear a mask in Minneapolis if you're going to commit a crime.
Okay.
So no masks.
Duly noted.
And if you are a robber and a criminal, and you are wearing a mask when you rob said bank, that's a $1,000 fine.
Yeah, we need to know.
That was 1868. 1884, one-armed pitcher. Jim Abbott wasn't the only one-armed pitcher in baseball. We had Hugh One-Armed Daly. On this date in 1884, he struck out 13 hitters.
That's impressive.
On this date. Who are some of your favorite one-armed people? Would it be Hugh Daly? I guess he was an ornery old cuss. He wasn't happy that he only had one arm.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like he was like Jim Abbott, where it wasn't his whole arm, it was just kind of his hand at the wrist. It was a gun accident for this guy. But can you name me another one of your favorite one-armed people?
The bad guy in The Fugitive.
It killed Richard Kimball's wife. Exactly.
Right.
That comes to mind for me. So 1884. 1900, Edwin S. Vody received a patent, patent number two of the day. For the pianola. The pianola is the self-playing piano. And
And
his first one that he came up with was run by air. It was a pneumatic piano player.
Impressive.
Which kind of stinks because I can't play piano, but air can play piano. Air?
Can't be that difficult then, can it?
No, you wouldn't think so. So that was 1900. Let's get our first audio of the day. It's Truman.
I believe that it must be the policy of the United States to support free people who are resisting attempted subjugation by armed minorities.
That was Truman. Oh, wait a minute, Truman.
By outside pressure.
Outside pressure. I'm sorry, Harry Truman. And I guarantee you, this is the only radio show you're going to hear Harry Truman.
Probably.
You're not going to hear Harry Truman anywhere else other than the Bob Almanac. So Truman came up with his doctrine. He said, hey, you got to stay out of Turkey. You got to stay out of Greece, communists, or we're coming after you. We're going to stop you, communists.
Yeah. You know you're somebody when you have a doctrine.
We all want a doctrine.
Right.
And then it's time you can say, my work is done now that we have. What's your favorite doctrine? You like the Truman Doctrine or the Monroe?
Well, the Monroe, I think, was a little more historic.
Yes, it was. How about the What's Up Doctrine? 1958, Jerry Lee Lewis married his 13-year-old cousin, Myra. Now, it actually was his third cousin.
Right.
She was his first cousin's daughter. I don't know if it was once or twice removed or if they were removed at all, but it was scandalous, Neil.
Very much so.
And they were married for double digits. Was it 13 years?
I think that's the number that jumps out to me.
That's what the Almanac has reported in the past.
Yes.
So that was on this date in 58, 61.
607 feet high, the Space Needle, with its revolving circular restaurant, is a breathtaking observation port on tall, slender legs, gracefully flared.
Gracefully flared the legs.
Erection of the supporting structure was an outstanding feat of steel construction, done in record time.
They're using some interesting words to describe the Space Needle there. I don't know if that we should probably be airing that after 9 p.m.
Yeah, it's,
That was a little informational film on the Seattle Space Needle, the Top of the Needle restaurant.
Bob After Dark.
Was opened for the first, it was the first ever revolving restaurant, and I wanted to go eat there, and I wanted to be a part of it, and we just couldn't afford a trip to Seattle, so I tried to eat a corn dog on the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Very similar.
Results were not good. I put too much ketchup on it.
Oh boy.
It started flying
around.
You're
going to wear some of that.
It looked like the Valentine's Day massacre after we got off of that.
And for the record, I love the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Tilt-A-Whirl's great.
That was one of my favorite rides.
Right up there with the Scrambler. Here's your number one song on this date.
The worst person.
Mother-in-law. Ernie K. Doe. It's off the pop charts. And the reason I don't do the country number ones is because that's Carl Geisler. I signed a deal with Carl Geisler. It's an agreement of exclusivity.
It's almost a doctrine.
He takes care of all that stuff later on in the morning with this day in country music history. I can't steal his thunder, so I focus more on the pop charts.
Very nice.
I can only mention so many country tidbits per almanac. That's our agreement with Carl Geisler.
Very diplomatic.
He has some power. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah.
So that was Estate 61, Mother-in-Law number one.
Do you ever change your shoes when you come home from someplace? Oh, your school or your work or get ready to play. How are you doing with your tying?
I'm doing just well, Fred Rogers. I can tie my shoes, thanks to you. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood premiered nationally. He went countrywide on this date on PBS.
What year?
Black and white, 1967.
Wow. I don't know why I never, I was only 8, 9 years old. I would have still been perfect for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but we didn't watch very much of that.
Did you watch Channel 2 at all?
A little bit. I was...
Some Fawlty Towers, maybe?
I was heavy into Captain Kangaroo, and then, the
local
Clancy.
People, yes.
Yes, and then the afternoon, Dave, Lee, and Pete. In fact, I went on that show once.
Your start right there.
Yeah, that was in sixth grade. We got picked up right early from school, and... We got to go to Dave Lee and Pete.
That's bad. I was on Bowling for Dollars one time out in the crowd.
That was
my early claim to fame.
Was there somebody bowling for
my
dollars?
Dad was.
Oh, he died.
Tom Ryther was the host.
Ten Pin Tommy.
1972.
This is my fourth visit to the Soviet Union. On these visits, I have gained a great respect for the peoples of the Soviet Union, for your strength, your generosity, your determination.
You know, say what you want about President Nixon, but, he did have the plums to go to both China and Russia in about 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
In a span of 3 or 4 months. I mean, he did it in February. He went to China. Then he went to Russia. He said, hey, communist, here I am.
Yeah.
Come and take me. They didn't take him, of course, his own doings.
would take him down. And some choices and people
around him would take him down. But anyway, that was in 72. 86, Cher was on Letterman, and this happened.
I don't know, because I thought that I would never want to do this show with you.
Now, why? Now, let's explore this a little. Why? Because you thought I was...
An ass.
Whoa! Cher, coming in hot. And Dave puts a cigar in his mouth. This is classic Dave Letterman reaction.
They're of course not booing. They're just chanting, share, share.
Maybe that's maybe a top five David Letterman moment.
Yes.
So that was Cher and Letterman, 1986. And then Letterman also had a little thing going on with Oprah, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally patched that up as well. And then exactly 6 years later, another late night tidbit.
You people watching, I can only tell you that it has been an honor and a privilege to come into your homes all these years and entertain you. And I hope when I find something that I want to do and I think you will like and come back, that you'll be as gracious inviting me into your home as you have been. I bid you a very heartfelt good night.
Emotional. Johnny Carson, this day.
I remember watching
that. Final show, 1992. He is the one and only king of late night. Nobody that comes after, at least in my lifetime, will ever be referred to as the king of late night. Letterman was close for me, but still... It's got to be
Carson.
Old Johnny Carson and his Karnak bits. Sis Boom Ba.
Oh, my gosh.
What's the sound?
He and Ed were unbelievable.
What's the sound you hear just before a sheep explodes? Sis Boom Ba. 2015.
The Olsen twins aren't coming back for the Netflix series.
No, but thank you for asking.
Well, you know, that's the, you never know.
But fans got confused when Mary-Kate and Ashley said they hadn't even heard about the show until it was in the press.
It was controversial, Neil. I know you had to take a couple of days off of work when you heard that the Olsen twins would not be on Fuller House on Netflix, the revival of Full House.
Disappointment wouldn't begin to describe it.
That was 2015. 2016.
A group of female pilots from World War II can again be buried on the U.S. military's most hallowed ground. On Tuesday, the Senate unanimously approved legislation to allow women Air Force Service pilots, or WASPs, to be laid to rest at Arlington National Cemetery.
Makes sense. They flew in the war. They should be laid to rest at Arlington, and President Obama signed that bill that was passed by the Senate on this date. 2016. Let's move on to some birthdays now. Neil, what time is it?
I hope that it's TV theme time.
Good old Room 222 and Michael Constantine.
Nice. God, I did watch this show.
Remember that Marla Gibbs show called 227?
Yes.
My mother always called it Room 222 because she had watched this when it was on television. What was Michael Constantine? Was he one of the teachers, the principal or something, I'm assuming?
I'd have to double check.
93 today. Tommy John, former baseball pitcher. So Dick Bramer, the broadcaster for the Twins, tweets out here today that he says, happy birthday to Tommy John. And there have been 48 pitchers in baseball that have won 250 or more games, and he's worked with four of them. Tommy John, Jack Morris, Jim Cott, Burt Blyleven.
Very nice.
Tommy John is 77, and he has, you know, you got the doctrines. How about the surgery? Would you like to have a surgery named after you?
A procedure.
A procedure.
That's impressive.
Tommy John surgery. You know, I once looked into Elton John surgery, but a little too expensive and evasive, too, after we looked into it a little bit there. They permanently seal the glasses to your head when it's Elton John surgery.
No.
1948. If I ever said Southern Fried Rock.
One of the greatest.
That's Doug Gray singing lead, and 1948 was his birth year. He's 72. Here comes, wait for it. The Marshall Tucker Band, Doug Gray, lead singer.
This song was out, and it was the spring break, 1976. Or 77. 76, I think. Outdoors, Daytona Beach Community College. Little flask of Southern Comfort.
Sure.
My buddy the Lurcher and me for some Marshall Tucker.
Like your flasks.
Oh, my gosh.
If I was to search your golf bag right now, I would find at least a half dozen. Empty, of course. Did somebody mention Elton John?
Hold it. Elton John and Tommy John on the same day.
No, it's Bernie Taupin's birthday. The guy who wrote the lyrics to this song.
Oh, sure.
Elton did the music, Bernie Taupin did the lyrics.
So many times.
Yeah, he didn't write all of Elton John's hits, but most of them.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Pretty early. He was 20 when he wrote your song. That's deep. So Bernie Taupin is 70 today. Diamond Rio's singer and bass player Dana Williams was here at the Rib Fest. When was Diamond Rio here? A couple years ago?
Yeah.
Dana Williams,
say
57. Supermodel Naomi Campbell is also the big 5-0 today.
What do you want from me?
I want you, John. I want you. And I want everything that you promised me.
Well, what if I can't do that?
She played Viv in Walk the Line, Johnny Cash's first wife.
Okay.
Jennifer, not Naomi Campbell. Jennifer Goodwin is 42 here today. And one more.
We will now reveal the winners and new champions of Dancing with the Stars.
This is big.
Now, this is why I don't watch these shows anymore. This ridiculous, inane delay does nothing.
Apollo and Juliet!
Apollo Anton Ono. Speed skater, short track speed skater, which is basically roller derby on ice, right, Neil?
Right.
And season four, he won Dancing with the Stars. No relation to Yoko. Apollo Anton Ono, 38. And I think they won it, he and Huff, Julianne Huff, I think they won it dancing the Paso Doble.
Oh, well, very impressive. Let's go on to the gone but not forgotten category. We would not have Sherlock Holmes and the great movies, not only the Basil Rathbone movies, but Iron Man, in him as Robert Downey Jr. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is the guy who created Sherlock Holmes, 1859. Academy Award-winning actor Sir Laurence Olivier. He won Oscar for Hamlet, 1907. He was the guy who would tell you to come on down. It's Johnny Olson.
All right, Bob, it's Juanetta Wesley. Come on down. You're the next contestant of The Price is Right.
So Juanetta Wesley, forever memorialized here on the Almanac. Because of that.
That's a pretty good deal for her.
Yeah.
Johnny Olson was the man and the great voice, born on this day, 1910. Remember Judith Crist, one of the early film and television critics, 1922, and TV producer Quinn Martin.
Well, what do you think Judith Crist thought of Barnaby Jones?
Super realistic and believable.
So whenever I heard this theme, it was time to go to bed. Because I think this aired on Thursday night. We would watch Hawaii 5-0 on CBS.
7-8.
And then at 9 o'clock Central, this would come on. Oh, and it was our cue. Oh, 9 o'clock, got to go to bed.
Got to go to bed. No Barnaby Jones.
We had to tape it on the beta.
He gave us Barnaby Jones. He gave us Cannon, two of the fleetest of foot when it came to running down outlaws.
I'd like to see him in a foot race.
Right, and the streets.
I think Raymond Burr in Ironside actually could beat both of those guys, and he's in a wheelchair.
Right, probably. He was the man, though. Quinn Martin gave us all those great detective-type shows. Born on this day, 1922. And Paul Winfield, you know that name?
Captain, where's Dr. Marcus? Where are the Genesis materials?
Oh, boy.
He couldn't find them. Even the data banks were empty. Erased. He tortured those people. But none of them would tell him anything. He went wild. He slit their throats.
He put bugs in your ear.
Oh, it was nasty.
That's from Wrath of Khan, Neil. Now, yes. I know you haven't watched a lot of the Star Wars movies, but I'm assuming Star Trek Wrath of Khan is one you're familiar with.
Like six or seven times.
He was Captain Terrell of the USS Reliant. That is the sheep that Khan and his followers... did I say sheep?
Sheep,
That's the ship. Although we are using that term sheep a lot these days. You're seeing it on social media, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
But, he was the captain of the ship USS Reliant, and that's the one, of course, that Khan commandeered.
Right.
And took on the Enterprise.
He was an evil man, Khan.
Exactly, he was.
Khan.
Khan Noonien Singh, and this is Paul Winfield.
1939 for Paul Winfield. Then NBC newscaster. He was embedded with our troops for a long time, and he died tragically very young. David Bloom is the man we're referring to, born on this day, 1963. And they're gone, but not forgotten.
I don't think there's a more important Bobathon than this one here on Friday to kick off the holiday weekend you going here for Memorial Day. There is a tremendous amount of responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility, yes. Neil Freeman.
I'm taking a deep breath.
Also, remember this. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Please, and you have been and always will be, my friend. We could go on forever. We need to get into this. Shelley West, Jose Cuervo, Wink, Neil McCoy. And here they come, everybody. Like, open the floodgates. The summer songs begin this weekend.
Wow.
Kenny Chesney, Summertime.
I'm going to go Neil McCoy, Wink.
KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud, KBGY Faribault, KLCI Elk River, KLCI HD1 Elk River.